Well, hello, welcome. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth again, and we have another study today. I'm glad that you're joining in, and thank you. The Lord's always impressed with those that come to Him and on purpose study His Word. Don't overestimate that. Don't underestimate how important it is to the Lord for you to be in His Word. All throughout the Lord's Word, He tells us to be in the Scriptures, to search the Scriptures, to study the Scriptures. And that's what we're going to do today. We're going back into the study of life. Where we left off on our last program was, our last recording was on life spiritual, you remember? And I hope that you went back over those scriptures and read them, and the more you read them, it'll saturate your mind with it, and your mind remembers a lot more than you think it does. And the devil tries to tell us that if you don't memorize something, then you don't really get it in your mind, and studying is vanity because I'm not very good at studying. Well, that's not true. You read something and it's in your mind, and the Holy Ghost uses it, especially God's Word. And that's never vanity to read through God's Word, whether you understand it or not. When you get into the such and such begot, such and such begot, such and such begot, you think, well, what in the world, Brother TV, how's that ever going to help me? Well, it will. It will. And you remember a lot more than you think you do, and God the Holy Ghost is faithful to bring that stuff to memory when you need it. And you'll be sitting there, and you'll be reading, and you'll come across something, and the Lord will remind you of something, and you'll sit there and you'll say to yourself, Lord, you really do help me. You watch. You'll be saying that if you hadn't already said it yet, because God is faithful, and He's real. Did you hear that? God is real. God the Holy Ghost dwelling in you is a person, and He is real. And He's there. Whether you believe it or not, I hope you believe it. But it takes us a while. We're poor, stupid, sinful human beings, and we don't know any better. And we have to learn how to learn. And we have to learn how to trust the Lord. It's kind of like when Peter stepped out of the boat. And I always admired Peter, and I still do admire Peter, because that man, when he wanted to do something for the Lord, he wanted to go all out for Him. And he used and according to the scriptures, I can't say it about him. A few times he flubbed things up just by wanting to go wide open for the Lord. A few times, I mean, the time he was in the garden, he said, "Ain't nobody going to attack you, Lord, or arrest you and stuff like that." And the Lord turned around and told him, "Get thee behind me, Satan," and rebuked him. The time that they was in the upper room up there, and the Lord was washing their feet, and he said, "You ain't washing none of my feet, Lord, and ain't my God ain't washing my feet." He said, "If I don't wash, then you got nothing to do with me." He said, "Wash my feet, my hands, my head." And, you know, that's kind of like I am when it comes to this reading and studying and everything else. And you think that the Lord's not teaching you. That's the way the enemy attacks us. And we, if you're not very good at studying, or you don't know how to study, and I still don't know how to study, all I know is just get in the book and read, and God does everything else. He does everything else. It's His Word. His Word is everything. His Word is the foundation. Jesus Christ is the foundation, and Jesus Christ is the Word. And we have the written Word. And the written Word should be very, very important in your life. And if it's not, you need to make it. Because it is what changes your thinking and changes your mind, and it is God's power in your life. If you don't believe it, try it. I'm telling you the truth. I'm not telling you what I think. I'm telling you what I know. I know that God's Word is real. I know that it's powerful. I know that it's spiritual. And I know that it's supernatural. You believe what you want to. Everybody else does too. But I know. Did you hear me? I know it is. And when the Lord told Peter to step out of that boat, that he could come to him, and Peter was going to step out. I mean, the waves were raging out there. And Peter seen the Lord, and he figured out it was the Lord, and he said, "Lord, let me come to you." And he going to jump in that water, see? But he jumped in that water and had enough faith that he walked on that water too. But then when he got to looking around, and we've heard this message before, he got to looking around, his faith started to, he started to doubt. And when he started to doubt, he started to sink. And he said, "Lord, save me." And the Lord saved him. And what was the next thing the Lord said to him? He said, "Why did you doubt? Why did you doubt?" And that's what the Lord says to me all the time. Why do you doubt? Why do you doubt me? Have I ever let you down? No, he has not. The Lord has never, ever let me down in any kind of way, any kind of instance, any kind of scenario, any kind of support, any kind of anything. He's never let me down. He ain't never let me down with a whooping. And he ain't never going to let you down. It's that we need to believe in him, because that's faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So while you're reading, the Lord said that if we would read his word, that God the Holy Ghost would take his word and he would use it in us, and he would teach us, and he would cause us to grow in the word, and he would conform us into the image of Christ. But it's his word. You've got to be in the book and around the book. And if the enemy is going to do anything in your life, which he is, if he's going to do anything to somebody that wants to be sincere to the Lord, that wants to be devoted to the Lord, that wants to be have his devotion to the Lord, and the Lord know it and be sincere about it, the enemy's going to try to take that book from you. He's going to try to take that book from you for the rest of your life. And you're either going to let him, or you're going to have to fight. Every time you go to get in that book, you're going to get resistance. Every time you go to listen to one of these studies and study with me and study with all of us together, you're going to get resistance. You probably already have had some resistance just trying to sit down and do this today. If anything, the enemy's tried to make you doubt and tried to make you think that you're wasting your time, or tried to make you feel uncomfortable. Something. He's always trying to stop you from being in God's Word or around God's Word or listening to God's Word, because he knows God's Word. And he knows how powerful it is. And us little old, he can't stand us little old pieces of dirt that God created, human beings walking around and giving God praise and trusting the Lord enough to be in his word and just do what God says because God said it. That drives the devil crazy, because that's exactly what he wants, is for somebody to worship him. And the devil's going to try to make your life a little harder, just because of your relationship with God's Word. And that's why it's one reason why it's so hard to be around God's Word and be. But you got to do it. If you're going to be devoted and your allegiance is to the Lord, you got to be in his Word. Amen. I don't even remember what I started out going to say when I got into that, but it was good, wasn't it? Let's get back into our study. Life spiritual is where we left off last time, and we had a few, went over a few things about life spiritual. We talked about the source of life, remember? The source of life, life spiritual according to the scriptures. And then the next thing that we talked about was things that life spiritual are described as. And we described it as a new birth. We described it as a resurrection. We described it as a translation. We described it as a new creature, life spiritual. We described it as a seed, remember? And we also seen in the scriptures where the scriptures described it as a crucifixion. Then we went into some evidences, or no, that's where we stopped, and we're going to pick up today. evidences of life spiritual? What are some evidence of life spiritual? How do you know you're looking at spiritual life when you're looking at it? What is some evidence of spiritual life? Well, the Bible tells us, and let's look at some of it. First of all, an evidence of life spiritual is growth. Is growth. You can see life spiritual. You can see evidence of life spiritual by its growth. The Bible says so. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, the Bible says, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby." One thing that the Lord wants us to do is trust Him and to be in His Word. And after you're born again, He wants you to be responsible for growing. He don't want you to sit and be stagnant and doing nothing. He don't put any more on you than what you can handle. And the Lord's not the Lord's yoke is really not a burden, like He said. It is a yoke, but it's not a burden. He said His burden is easy, His yoke is easy, and His burden is light. And it is. You do carry a burden when you're living for the Lord and you're studying His Word and you're growing. You do carry a burden, and you are yoked up. But you're yoked up to the right God. And a God that loves you, and a God that's going to take care of you and be there for you. And He backs it up. He don't just yap out of His mouth and say what He's going to do like all these other, say what they're going to do and blabbity, blabbity, blab, 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 and don't do nothing. And you can't trust them, and you shouldn't trust them. But your God you can trust. You know what's the evidence of having the right God? And that a God loves you? And that He means what He says? Is because He proves it. Has God proven everything that He's ever said to you? Has He? Well, one reason you can say that He has is because He hasn't let you down. Has God ever let you down? Has the Lord Jesus Christ ever let you down? Has His Word ever let you down? Now, I didn't say go contrary to something that you might have been thinking was right and you were wrong. Because God's Word does correct us. God's Word is truth. And whenever we're thinking on something or studying God's Word and we get it wrong, the Bible says rightly dividing the Word of truth, not wrongly. And a lot of times we'll think we're studying God's Word and understanding it one way, and then the Holy Ghost will teach us the right division of God's Word. And that's how He tells us to study. And that's a whole process of studying anyway, is finding out what is wrong so you can know what is right. But one evidence is growth. Spiritual life is going to cause growth. You're going to grow if you're studying and you're good. If there's any evidence in you at all of life spiritual, it's going to be one thing, it's going to be growth. If you're not growing, there's question marks around you, because you're going to grow. God the Holy Ghost promised you that He's going to teach you and that He's going to cause you to grow whether you like it or not. And He's going to work on you. And if He's got to work on you and take you through the same class four or five times like He has done me, until you graduate that class and get it down. I don't know what class it could be. Maybe lying. Maybe you can't get away from lying. He's going to take you through that class and take you through that class and take you through that class until you grow and you quit lying. Maybe you're a thief. Maybe you got bad thoughts. It takes years and years. That's why the Lord tells us not to get into all the wicked stuff and watch all that wicked stuff on TV and listen to all the wicked music and all that kind of stuff. The Lord wants you to have the best of everything. But if you're putting wicked stuff into your mind and into your heart, and you're listening to all that stuff and watching all that stuff with your eyes, your brain is taking that stuff in. And when it takes it in, God the Holy Ghost is doing all He can with God's Word to try to keep it out of you and to wash it out of you by the washing of the Word. And that's what God's Word does. It washes it out of you. And some things we've ingrained in our minds for so long that even when you get close to the Lord and you're walking with Him and you're devoted to Him and you mean business and you're sincere as you know how to be, you're still going to battle with some wicked thoughts that you've had in your mind that come, and you're going to go, man, where did that come from? I don't ever want to think that again. Where'd that come from? Well, that's growing. And it takes years and years to clean out some of them things. The best way to do it is not put anything else in your mind that doesn't need to be there. And to wash your mind with God's Word like you're doing right now. But one evidence of spiritual life is growth. Another one, that's not all. Another evidence of spiritual life, of life spiritual, is love. Is love. Listen to this. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 14, the Bible says, "We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death." Okay, the Bible says right there that one evidence of spiritual life in you is that you have a brand new love for the brethren. It's not something that you went out and learned. It's not something that you hypnotized yourself with. It's not fakey, fakey, fake. It's that God the Holy Ghost has moved into your heart, and the Word of God is teaching you the love of God, the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, Christ's love, not the world kind of love. He's teaching you to love the brethren. And did you notice what he said? Love the brethren, not the world. Not the devil, and not the flesh, and not people that hate God. The Bible says love your enemies. He said love your enemies, and then he told you how to love your enemies. If they need something to eat, give them something to eat. If they need something to drink, give them something to drink. But he didn't say walk around, pat them on the head, and tell them that they're doing right when they're doing wrong. That's not love. That's not Christ's love. But when it comes to the brethren, the Lord said, one evidence of life spiritual in you is that you're going to automatically, in your heart, whether you have a problem with them or not, you're going to love them. You can love with Christ's love even when you're angry enough to slap somebody. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Christ's love is completely different kind of love than this world describes love as. It has absolutely no comparison to it. Christ's love. The Bible says that one evidence of life spiritual is that you have love. 1 John 3:14. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Now, that's either true or it's a lie. And I know it to be true because there is a love in me that I never had before that I don't control. God the Holy Ghost controls it. There's a love in me that causes me to love the people that love God and to love those that are my brethren in the body of Christ, in the church. Not the fakes. Not the ungodly, and not the wicked, and not the devil worshipers, and not the fakes. The Lord said for us to love them. He didn't tell us, and anywhere you look in the Scriptures when the Lord's talking about Christ's love, you better look at that and look at it real good. Because the Bible doesn't tell us to love like what we love the brethren, to love the world and love the enemy. He tells us to love the enemy with Christ's love in such a way to where we fulfill their needs, like you give them something to eat, you give them something to drink, and you be kind to them. But never are we to love them in an agreement with their wickedness or their ungodliness or their God-hating. There's a difference. Christ's love is not like this compromising, let's all get together love, like the world, church, and all that garbage that's going on. And the devil's business. It's nothing like that. But we're talking about evidences. One evidence of Christ in your life and life spiritual is that you have a love that's not, that doesn't come from the world. It doesn't initiate from the world. It's not produced by the world. It's not anything that's part of the world. It's spiritual. And it comes from God. Those that worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And the way that you know that this is different and that it's evidence that you have spiritual life or life spiritual, and that's what we're talking about, is life. Remember? We're talking about life spiritual. One evidence of life spiritual in you is that you have a love in you that can only come from God. That's not all. What else? An evidence of life spiritual. Well, growth is one. Love is one. And here's another one. Obedience. Oh, I just lost about half of you, didn't I? Everybody's got a problem. When you're trying to be as devoted and whatever, I hear people say a lot of times, whatever it takes, Lord, whatever it takes, just make me like you want me to be, whatever it takes, whatever it takes. Except when it gets in that obedience thing. you can stand, go out there in the middle of a crowd and just stand there. And there's a couple things that you can say that'll get everybody's attention in one word sayings. One of them is Jesus Christ. Jesus. Just stand there in the middle of the grocery store and say, Jesus, Jesus. You'll have a crowd surrounding you just standing there looking at you before it's over. Another one is obedience. Another one is obedience. Obedience strikes people funny. It does. And because there's so much rebellion in their stinking heart and in ours. If we don't submit ourselves, resist the devil, and submit ourselves to God, our flesh will automatically start growing resistance rather than obedience. Our flesh is wicked. It wants to be disobedient. But obedience is evidence of life spiritual. It's not evidence of life natural, is it? Well, it is for a Christian. But, I mean, when you see the world and you see the condition of the world and the behavior of the world, is obedience evidence of life in them? Absolutely not. In the world, the Bible says, heady and high-minded and lovers of self rather than lovers of God. And that's exactly the way the world is, and getting worse and worse and worse, and bragging about it. Bragging about it. Obedience is evidence of life spiritual. Listen to this. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 16, it says, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life." Isn't that wonderful? The Bible says spiritual life, life spiritual, will one evidence of life spiritual is obedience. That's how come the world is not obedient, because there's no spiritual life in them. Anything that has to do with spirituality with them is wicked spirituality. The ungodly, the God-haters, the people that despise God, the ones that are headed to hell, lost, and without God in the world, and could care less. They'd spit on Jesus Christ if they could. They hate him. The Bible says, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey." And that just happens naturally, spiritually. If you're going to, whatever you obey, you become a servant to. Even if you have the choice of who you're going to obey, and you do. If you obey God the Holy Spirit and obey the Word of God, and you do it sincerely from the heart, then you will serve the Lord. You will be a servant of the Lord and a servant of life spiritual. But if you serve ungodliness and wickedness and the things that the Bible says, what fruit had ye in those things whereof ye are now ashamed, and you go back to that garbage, and you go back to heroin, you ask any heroin user if he's a servant, if he becomes a servant to that God, or whether that thing gets authority over him. You ask them. You ask anybody I've known some people that only reason that they continue to cook meth and to make dope and everything else is not because it's so much fun. It's because of all the authority they have over people. Man, you become a god to people if you can make dope. If you got lots of money, you can become a god to people. But it ain't got nothing to do with God's Word, and it ain't got nothing to do with life spiritual. Not real life spiritual. We're talking about godly spirituality. Not the devil. The Bible says one evidence of life spiritual is obedience. That's not all. Another evidence of life spiritual is victory. Now, I'm not talking about victory where you walk around la-di-da, hooty-hoo, and everything's fine, I'm all right, you're all right, da-da-da-da-da-da. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you are having victories in your life. There are victories, and most victories have to be, I'll say most of them, but a lot of victories have to be worked for and fought for. When I was running that ministry up in Pennsylvania, having to do with troubled men, those men would come in there, and our program was 1 year long. And them men, when they got it in their heads of what they were really going, when they would come in, and I had the first interview with them, I would tell them, listen, one thing that you're going to have to understand is that if you come into this ministry, this is going to be one of the hardest things you've ever done in your life. Because we're going to be dealing with you. And you're going to be dealing with you. The most real reason because people have problems with spirituality and serving the Lord and everything else is with themselves. Is fighting themselves to discipline themselves with all the foolishness and the ungodliness and the wickedness and the uncaringness in the world now. It takes a lot of discipline to be a Christian. And I'm not talking about, the Lord does things supernatural in your life a lot of times, and He has for me too, and I love it when He does. But most of your Christian life is going to have to do with suffering, and the suffering comes from disciplining yourself to be sincere and prove your sincerity to the Lord, just like the Lord Jesus Christ disciplined Himself and suffered when He said that He loved us and He went and proved it. It said that we're going to suffer with the Lord. But you will have victories. And a lot of you listening to this right now, you could probably testify to a lot of victories that you have that you've had in your life, and you've given the Lord praise for it because you know that He's the one that helped you and gave you strength through it. And even though that you had to fight for it, it was worth it, wasn't it? And the Lord's for victory. But the Lord is a God of war. The Lord fights battles. The Lord Jesus Christ is a God of war. He knows how to fight. He took on that whole temple when He went in there with that strap to get them out of there. He took them all on. Jesus, our Lord, is not a sissy like everybody thinks He is. There ain't nobody could stand up in His face no time, and ain't going to. They're going to bow that knee is what they're going to do. Victory is evidence of life. Listen to this. We're back in Romans chapter 6 and verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Remember, we was just talking about obedience, serving sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over Him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth, he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye yourselves also to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Now, whose responsibility is the Bible teaching us that it's teaching us that we are responsible for not letting sin reign in our mortal body? Now, the Lord does help us. The Word of God helps us. The Lord helps us supernaturally when we ain't got enough strength. He does. He's there. But the bottom line is the responsibility is on you. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are under the law, but are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. You see, the Bible says that you're going to have victories, and you are. The Bible says, for he that is dead is freed from sin. You are to reckon your body and the lust that your body tries to talk you into and all that stuff. You are to reckon it already in the grave. Because it is. It's dead. It's on its way back to the dirt. You are saved and you're going to heaven no matter what. But while you're in that body, you are to reckon it dead. And you are alive. You are alive. You're free from sin. When you were born again, you were crucified with the Lord, and your body was crucified. It's dead. It's going back to the dirt, and the Lord's going to resurrect it, just like the Lord resurrected, and we're going to get a body like unto His glorious body. But that flesh and that ungodliness and the uncleanness, and there's no good thing in it, is dead. And you're to reckon it dead, even though you're wearing it and walking around with it. But you're to reckon it dead. The Bible says, for he that is dead is freed from sin. You have the victory. All you have to do is claim it and use the victory. You say, well, I just ain't strong. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. If the Lord says you got the victory, you got it. All you have to do is claim it. I ain't doing that no more. No, flesh, you ain't getting that no more. No, 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 no. And the one proof of your life spiritual, of life spiritual, is that you sitting right there listening to the study because you want to know what God's Word says. Good for you. Another thing, not only victory, but spiritual mindedness is evidence of life spiritual. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 6, the Bible says, for to be carnally minded is death. Now, what's carnally? Carnally means like your flesh thinks. You know, carnal, carnality, fleshly. Chili con carne, with flesh. Chili with flesh. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Life and peace. The Bible says, spiritual mindedness is evidence of life spiritual. And you have a choice. And now we have to practice it. We have to put God's Word in our minds so that we can think spiritually. The only way you're going to think spiritually is that you put spiritual information in your mind. Is that you put spiritual things in your thinking. The music you listen to. The conversation that you have. The life that you live in your spirit, is it spiritual or are you living in the flesh? But the Bible says evidence of life spiritual. Now remember, we're talking about life. Evidence of life spiritual is spiritual mindedness. Do you think of spiritual things? You should, and you can. If you're born again, the Bible says, for to be carnally minded is death. The only thing that your fleshly mind is going to remind you of is wickedness and ungodliness and all the nasty jokes and, well, this and all, and all that kind of stuff. Spiritual mindedness is completely different. It doesn't remind you. Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, think on these things. That's spiritual mindedness. You say, well, I don't have that much loveliness in my mind yet. Well, you're getting it. You're getting it. Just keep doing what you're doing. Stay in God's Word. Stay around God's people. Stay around spiritual things. Get away from ungodliness. The Bible said, run from it. Spiritual mindedness is evidence of life spiritual. That's not all. God the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Christ in you, is evidence of life spiritual. And Romans chapter 8, listen to this. It says, let's see, chapter 8 and verse 9, beginning there. It says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, talking about God the Holy Ghost, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So the Bible says if you're born again, God the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Christ, is dwelling in you. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And then it says, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify. Now, what's mortify mean? To kill. mortally, mortal, mortify. You put it to death. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Evidence of life, spiritual. Life, spiritual. Is God the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Christ in you? That's evidence. This ought to be comforting you. This ought to be giving you assurance of your salvation. This ought to be letting you know that these things are real and God is real. Another thing is the Spirit bearing witness with our spirit is evidence of life spiritual. God the Holy Ghost is not he doesn't just dwell in you and is a person and then stays quiet. God the Holy Ghost is not quiet in you. He's trying to communicate with you all the time. He tries to communicate with you often. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit, the spirit of man, your spirit. He bears witness with our spirit is evidence of life spiritual. He'll bear witness with you. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 15 through 17, listen to what the Bible says. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified. You say, suffer? Yeah. What is suffering? Suffer. Well, you're sort of suffering right now trying to learn God's word. Because this world and the flesh and the devil hate God's word. And they hate anything having to do with Christ or God the Holy Ghost. And you just doing and being obedient to the Lord and listening to the Lord and listening to his word and studying it so you can have it in you is suffering, that we suffer with him. Now, some forms of suffering are worse than others, but we suffer mentally, we suffer physically, we suffer, but talking about suffering with the Lord, yes, we suffer with him, the Bible says. But it says the Spirit itself, talking about God the Holy Ghost, the person, God the Holy Ghost, beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. One evidence of life spiritual is that God the Holy Ghost is going to show you and give you evidence that you are a son of God and that you are in the family of Christ and you're accepted into the beloved. Isn't that wonderful? Another one, that's not all. Evidence of life spiritual is walking in the Spirit is evidence of life spiritual. Because you want to, not because you have to. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16, the Bible says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. Now, God would not have told us in his word to walk in the Spirit if it was not possible for us to walk in the Spirit. And walking in the Spirit is listening and communing with God the Holy Ghost and with his word and what he says and the way he wants us to think and walking in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It did not say that your flesh would not lust. That's all your flesh wants to do is lust. It said you wouldn't fulfill it. If you walk in the Spirit, an evidence of life spiritual. If you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And just a few more here. Walking in the Spirit is evidence of life spiritual. And the putting off and the putting on is evidence of life spiritual. You say, what, Brother TV? Putting off and putting on? Yeah. Yeah, we just talked about that. If you walk in the Spirit, the Bible commands us to walk in the Spirit. In other words, spiritual things that you have learned and that God the Holy Ghost is commanding you and leading you and teaching you, and the Scriptures are teaching you, and He teaches us from His written Word, like He's doing right this very minute. The things that you learn that are spiritual, then you walk by them. And if you walk by them, you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh when they come upon you, whatever lust it might be. Whenever you used to, I don't know about you, but I used to smoke. I was a three-packer a day. And when I got up in the morning, I wasn't thinking all the spiritual things like, I need to get up and pray, and I need to get up and read my Bible and pray and talk to God. My flesh was telling me, I want a cigarette. Lust. And that's just a small example. It does get worse, doesn't it? That flesh is wicked. But the way that you conquer it is listening to God the Holy Ghost and what He has taught you, and walking in the things that He's taught you. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. You listen to Him, and you listen to His Word. And the Word, that's why I say saturate yourself with the Word. Saturate your mind with God's Word. And if you read it, you will have it in you. You say, brother, I just can't memorize. We're not talking about memorizing. Just read it. Just read it. And keep on reading and reading. It's your God's words. You're not ever going to be sorry or ever find out that you wasted any of your time reading God's Word. Ever. It's never, ever going to happen. Not even when we get into eternity. It's never going to be vanity that you read God's Word. Ever. Read it as much as you can. And it's never too much. Forget listening to that liar that tries to talk to you. That is nothing but a liar, Jesus said. There's no truth in him. Forget what he says and suggests that you're wasting your time reading God's Word. He's a liar. And he's never going to give you any peace about reading God's Word. Ignore him. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Another thing is putting off and putting on is evidence of life spiritual. Life spiritual. You say, well, what do you mean? Well, the Bible says in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 19, beginning there, it says, now the works of the flesh are manifest. All right? We're talking about putting off and putting on. Putting off fleshly things and putting on spiritual things. That's what we're talking about, is life spiritual. Okay? In Galatians chapter 5 and 5 and verse 19, it says, now the works of the flesh are manifest. In other words, they're revealed. You can see them. Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. I want to remind you, parentheses, parenthetically right here, what that means. But let me just jot this in there. He's talking to Christians. Listen to this. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, drinking it down to the last drop. That's what revelings is. And such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You're not going to know anything spiritual. The kingdom of God is spiritual. It's within you. The kingdom of heaven is a place. The kingdom of God is within you. It's the spiritual things that are within you. The spiritual things of Christ. God the Holy Ghost. And the Bible also says this. But the fruit of the Spirit God the Holy Ghost, fruit of the Spirit, God the Holy Ghost, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. It don't get any plainer than that, does it? You say life. Life spiritual. Yeah. Putting off and putting on. Envyings, murder, drunkenness, revelings. You put all that stuff off. Get away from it. Discard it. Dismiss it from your life. Completely get it out of your life. Take out the trash. And then at the same time while you're doing that, you're studying God's Word and you're putting on the good. You're putting on love. You're putting on joy. You say, Brother TV, I don't have peace. I don't have long-suffering. I don't have gentleness. I don't have goodness. You're going to get it. God the Holy Ghost is going to teach it to you because it is the fruit of the Spirit, and the Spirit dwells in you, and He's going to cause you to bear fruit of the Spirit, of Him, fruit of Him. And you're going to bear that stuff. But you've got to become spiritual, and you've got to walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Then it tells us about putting on and putting off. It's evidence of life spiritual. Isn't that good? I mean, it's not like what the world teaches. The world teaches, well, you do your thing and I do my thing and it's all the same thing. Let's all come together. And it's nothing but confusion. And it's wicked and it's wrong. It's not what the Bible teaches. It's either good or bad, up or down, left or right, salt or pepper, black or white, in or out, full or empty. And the last one we want to talk about today concerning life spiritual is your name in the book of life is evidence of life spiritual. Evidence of life spiritual. Is your name written down in the book of life? You say, well, what's the Bible say? In Philippians chapter 4, verse 3, the Bible says, and I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are written in the book of life. If you are born again, your name is written in the book of life. Did you get that? Book of life. What are we studying? Life. What are we studying? A book whose names are written in the book of life. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 17 and verse 8, the beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not, and yet is. There are some people with their names written in the book of life, and there are some people that names are not written in the book of life. The Bible is very clear. How do you get your name written in the book of life? By being born again. The Bible said, those that come unto me, I will in no wise cast out, the Lord said. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now let's recap just a little bit. We spent a lot of time, and so what? I mean, that's what we have that the Lord's given us, this time, right? And I kind of enjoy it, don't you? I love God's Word, and I know you do too. We're talking about evidences of life spiritual. Of life spiritual. One is growth. Another is love. Another is obedience. Remember what we're talking about. We're talking about life. We're trying to learn what is life. What is life? Growth is evidence of life, spiritual. Love is evidence of life, spiritual. So if somebody doesn't have God's love or Christ's love or is not growing or is not obedient, I'm talking about any time, or doesn't get the victory ever spiritually, or does have no kind of spiritual mindedness, or God the Holy Ghost is not dwelling in them, or there's no evidence of Him in them, or the Spirit's not bearing witness of His Spirit, there's something wrong. Because the Bible said evidence of life spiritual is love and growth. Another one is obedience. Another one is victory. You will get the victory over things. You will. Spiritual mindedness. You'll start thinking like a Christian. Start thinking like an heir of Christ. Or heirs of God and fellow along with Christ. Along with our Lord. Sometimes I forget what the Bible says and I get myself in a bind. God the Holy Ghost is evidence dwelling in you. The Spirit bearing witness with our spirit is evidence of life spiritual. Walking in the Spirit is evidence of life spiritual. You might not be perfecting. The Bible says that we are perfecting things. Perfecting holiness, the Bible says. Perfecting holiness. And what do you mean perfecting? You're practicing it. You practice it until you perfect it. Walking in the Spirit is evidence of life spiritual. Putting off and putting on is evidence of life spiritual. You see where the responsibility is in all of this having to do with life spiritual and what we're talking about on this topic of evidences of life spiritual? Where does the responsibility lie on most of these? Growth? Do you have to grow? No, you don't have to grow. Do you have to love? No. Do you have to be obedient? No. Do you have to get victory? No. Do you have to be spiritual minded? No. God the Holy Ghost dwelling in you, you can't do anything about. But you can, the Bible says that you can grieve the Spirit. You can ignore Him and not listen to Him. Do you have to, the Spirit bearing witness with our spirit? Now, you don't have to listen to God the Holy Ghost. That's one thing that's wonderful about the Lord, is He gives every human being on the planet, no matter what, their own will, and gives them choice of what they want and what they don't want. But the dangerous part of that and the scary part of that is that if you're trusting your flesh, you're going to do everything against God. And the thing about it is that God says, along with you having the freedom of your choice, you're also going to have the responsibility of your choices also. You're going to stand before Him and answer for all that. Not me, man. I take the Lord and I take His word. I don't care what anybody else does. I do care, but as far as I'm concerned, TV is with the Lord. Thurman is with the Lord. I don't care what anybody else. Nobody's getting me away from the Lord. And you shouldn't either. Your mind's made up. Going all the way with Him, right? Putting off and putting on is evidence of life spiritual. And one other, your name in the book of life is evidence of life spiritual. And that'll be all we talk about today, okay? Good study. And let me give you the scriptures. We begin with 1 Peter. Got your pencil? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. 1 John chapter 3, verse 14. Romans chapter 6, verse 16 through 22. We read a lot about Romans today. which is a good, excellent book that comes as far as talking about walking in the Spirit and spiritual things. That's the book of the new birth there. That's you want to learn about your salvation and how everything's done and how the Lord did everything, Romans and Galatians. Romans chapter 6, verse 16 through 22. Romans chapter 6, verse 1 through 15. Romans chapter 8, verse 6. Romans chapter 8, verse 9 through 14. Romans chapter 8, verse 15 through 17. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. And Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 through 25. Philippians chapter 4, verse 3. And Revelation chapter 17 and verse 8. Amen. Talking about life. Have we learned anything about life today? Well, we've learned that there's such thing as in the scriptures of life, spiritual, that it's real, that there's evidence of it, and that the Lord says that it's something that we are to have and to acquire and to work on. So next time on our next study, on our next recording, we're going to continue with this talking about life spiritual. There's a few more things we need to see in the scriptures. And one of them is right after this evidences part, when we start on the next one, we're going to talk about the growing process of life spiritual. We talked about what the evidence of growing and the evidence of all this life spiritual is, but how do you grow? What's the process of growing? I mean, natural life, life natural, we talked about it, and there's a process of growing with that, isn't there? Life eternal, there's a process with it. We live naturally in the body, and we see in the scriptures that we're not living in eternity yet, but we're going to. But the growing process of life spiritual, according to what the Bible says, we're going to talk about that. So, praise the Lord. A lot of scripture today. Go back over that scripture, and God bless you for studying God's Word. And I'm sorry, I'm all broken up today in my thoughts and everything. But all is well. The Lord bless you, and thank you for honoring our Lord, and thank you for joining in on these studies and putting up with me. And it's just good. It's fun and rewarding to study God's Word together, especially when we know and we bear witness. That's the same thing that we do right here, what we just got through talking about. These are spiritual lessons. This is spiritual fellowship. This is spiritual. And we don't even have to see one another. God's Word is what makes it spiritual, isn't it? And us studying this spiritually helps us to walk in the Spirit. And all the evidences that we talked about today causes us to grow spiritually. The Lord is wonderful. We have a wonderful Lord. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Cares about all of us and backs up His Word and proves what He said He'll do to every one of us. He will never break a promise to you. He'll always keep His Word, and if you don't know that He loves you, you will. Just stay faithful and study God's Word. Even if you don't study it here, study it somewhere. But I'm glad you study with me. I enjoy your fellowship. The Lord bless you. We'll get back together on the next one, okay, on the next recording about life. What is life? God bless you, this is Brother Thurman. Bye-bye.